digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24. Mr. Knowles, my name is Jack Bauer. Jonas Hodges is in possession of a military-grade bioweapon. I was contaminated when trying to intercept the canisters. I promise you, sir, the weapon is on your base.
Do you have any idea where they might be?
I think I might.
I have an order from the President of the United States
to search this building.
Are there weapons of mass destruction? Are there weapons of any kind?
You've got 5 minutes to get these helicopters flying out of here with all of you on board.
Larry, I want you and your men to pull out on Hodges' timetable. Tony, you're going to need to find a way to stay behind. We're going to get your vectors over to a man that we contacted inside Starkwood. His name is Douglas Knowles. He believes he knows where the weapons are.
Stay here. I'll be right back.
Jack! We need a vacuum!
Bioagent is more virulent than we thought. All we're doing here is just masking the symptoms.
I understand.
There's something you may want to consider.
What's that?
A possible treatment using stem cells from a genetically compatible donor. I saw your file and it says you have a daughter.
I don't want my daughter involved in this.
Jack, it should be her choice.
No, it's not. I'm the one who's dying.
I'm in, but they got Knowles.
A little loyalty. Wasn't that the least I deserved?
You can't take on the federal government.
I have a visual on the weapon.
Okay, those are the canisters.
We'll notify Admiral Smith. Target is located and confirmed.
You remember Starkwood was deployed to Pakistan? That we requisitioned a missile system at that time? Well, three of those missiles are now loaded with a pathogen and aimed at cities on our eastern seaboard.
You will keep this conversation to yourself and turn the planes around.
And if you do not comply, Madam President, I will have no choice but to launch those missiles.
Abort the airstrike, Admiral Smith.
Ma'am, with all respect.
Damn it, Admiral! Abort the airstrike immediately!
The following takes place between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m.
Tony moves cautiously through the Starkwood compound. Pausing at the angle of a building, he peers round the corner, his pistol at the ready in his hand. A huge tanker moves across the tarmac. Tony peers through a pair of binoculars to see Stokes and another man seemingly awaiting the arrival of the truck and opening a large hatch door in the ground.
Tony, it's Jack. Do you copy?
Jack, what the hell's going on?
Where are those F-18s?
Tim Woods just called from the White House. The President canceled the airstrike.
What? Why?
She doesn't believe our intel's strong enough to justify military action.
Is she out of her mind? Jack, I saw those canisters with my own eyes. So did you. They're in that bunker.
She's not going to get any better intel than that.
I know, it doesn't make sense, but right now we've got a presidential order to pull you out of the Starkwood compound along with the perimeter teams.
Tony, Larry's been told the president's decision. He's preparing to move his teams out, but he's got to get you out of there first. He'll be sending you coordinates for an exfiltration point along the southwest perimeter. Tony.
Hold on a second.
Tony moves a little closer to the truck and looks through the binoculars again. The men seem to be offloading fuel.
Tony, what's going on?
Jacob might know why the president called off that airstrike.
What do you mean?
I think Starkwood's got surface-to-surface missiles. That's how they're gonna deploy the bioweapon.
How do you know this?
A fuel truck just pulled up next to the bunker where they're storing the weapons. They're pumping RP-7 into an underground depot.
What's RP-7?
It's propellant only used in surface-to-surface missiles. Tony, are you sure?
I'm looking right at it, Jack.
Do you have any C4 on you?
Yeah, I've got 3 charges and a remote detonator.
Do you think you can gain access to the underground fuel depot?
Yeah, I think we've got a play, but I've got to move soon before that fuel truck pulls away.
Okay, I want you to maintain your position. I'm going to call the president. Come with me.
Tim Woods enters the Oval Office.
What is it, Tim?
Madam President, the Joint Chiefs are beginning to question your decision to call off the airstrike against Starkwood. They think the intelligence we received from Tony Almeida was sufficient, and that we may be missing an opportunity to destroy the bioweapons.
I gave my orders, Tim. No airstrike, no military action of any kind against Starkwood. Now I ask you to handle the Joint Chiefs. Handle them.
I'll do my best, ma'am, but if I may, what is our next move?
Jonas Hodges is coming to the White House. He wants to speak with me. Alone.
For what possible reason?
I don't know.
Madam President, shouldn't your advisors be at that meeting?
Tim, stop asking me questions. And if you want to help, make sure as few people as possible know that Jonas Hodges is coming here. And bring him in through the southeast service entrance. Yes?
Madam President, Jack Bauer and Renee Walker are calling from FBI.
You did speak to FBI?
Yes, ma'am. 5 minutes ago, I gave them your reason for calling off the airstrike, but I must warn you, they were skeptical as well.
Be ready for Hodges.
Woods leaves the room.
Mr. Bauer?
Agent Walker, this is the President.
Madam President, we need to talk.
No, Mr. Bauer, we don't. You need to listen. I appreciate everything that you have done in gathering this intel, but I still need more before I can authorize an airstrike. I'm sorry.
Madam President, with all due respect, I don't believe you're being truthful with us.
Excuse me?
I think you called off the airstrike because Jonas Hodges is in possession of surface-to-surface missiles armed with a bioweapon, and he's threatened to use them in case you try to take action against him. Madam President, Tony Almeida witnessed a truck pumping RP-7 rocket fuel into an underground depot situated right next to the bunker where the bioweapons are being stored. The only purpose for RP-7 rocket fuel is to launch missiles. Madam President, please just tell us the truth.
Jack, Hodges has 13 Python missiles armed with the bioweapons. Three are currently aimed at American cities. He demanded that I recall the planes or he would launch.
What does Hodges want?
I don't know, but he's requested a face-to-face meeting. He'll be at the White House in a few minutes.
Madam President, the only reason he wants a face-to-face meeting is to lay out his demands, and whatever they are, you cannot negotiate with him.
I'm not planning on negotiating with him, Jack. Once he places his cards on the table, I am sure that I can make him realize the futility of what he is trying to do.
Jonas Hodges is a traitor and a terrorist. And after everything that's happened today, are you really naive enough to believe that you can simply talk to him and change his mind?
I'm not new at this, Jack, and right now, I don't have another option.
Madam President, you do. Tony Almeida is still inside Starkwood.
I ordered him exfiltrated immediately. What's he still doing there?
I asked him to stand by until I could talk to you. He believes he can gain access to the fuel depot and lay a series of explosive charges and take the missiles out. Now, I believe this can work, but we need to act quickly.
What about the bioweapons?
RP-7 rocket fuel burns at 5,000 degrees. There'll be nothing left.
Once the weapons are destroyed, Larry Moss and his teams can move in on Starkwood and lock it down.
Hodges gave standing orders to his men to launch the missiles the first detection of government interference. If Almeida is detected, thousands of Americans will die, Jack.
Madam President, I know that there's a risk, but I would not be asking you to do this if I didn't think it would work. Please, I am begging you. Trust me.
President Taylor pauses, her expression softening.
How long did the doctors give you to live?
They're not sure, but the pathogen has started to take effect.
And there's not much I can threaten you with, is there? I expect you'll do what you think is right.
With a rather helpless expression, Taylor turns off the speakerphone.
What the hell does that mean?
She wants us to go in.
But she didn't authorize it.
She can't. She needs this to be a covert operation. If something were to go wrong and those missiles were to be launched, the president needs to be able to swear under oath that we were working on our own. She wants us to go in. Notify Larry. We need to move fast.
End of part one.
Told you I'd get you to the White House. I just didn't think it'd be under these conditions. It was brilliant, you know.
What was that, sir?
Your idea to make Almeida think that you were betraying me. Quite brilliant.
Thank you, sir.
You put yourself in harm's way, Greg. I'll never forget that. I can't believe feeling nervous.
You're gonna do fine, sir.
Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
So it sounds to me like the president didn't actually authorize this.
Technically, no. It was more of an indirect order. But believe me, Larry, she wants this to happen. She's gonna meet with Hodges, and we're gonna blow those fuel tanks. Larry, do you have a problem with this?
As a matter of fact, no. None whatsoever. Starkwood bastards drew on my men. I'm looking forward to getting back in there.
All right. Have your teams hold their position and be ready to move. Believe me, you'll know when it happens.
All right.
Larry wears an expression of steely resolve. At FBI HQ, Janice works at her station. Jack and Renee stride across the operations room. Jack screws an earpiece into his ear.
Tony, it's Jack. Do you copy?
Yeah, I'm here.
You were right about the missiles. The president confirmed it. We're going to have to carry this out as a covert operation. Larry and his men are standing by to lock down Starkwood as soon as the missiles have been destroyed.
Good.
Tony, I need to know that you can do this without being detected. I've just given his men standing orders to launch those missiles if there's a breach of any kind.
Yeah, I can do it.
Okay. Good luck.
Yeah.
Tony moves cautiously away from his hiding place. Stokes stands by the fuel tanker. Another man stands at his side. 110.
We're done here. I'm gonna go run a perimeter check.
You said you just finished one.
I know. But I don't think we can be too careful right now.
Stokes watches the other man go, as if suspicious of his motives. He pulls out his mobile phone. In the lab, the chief technician is making final preparations to the bank of deadly missiles sitting ready inside the bunker next door. He gets up to take the call.
Yeah, it's me.
No auxiliary tanks are fueled and ready.
Confirmed.
I'll be down in a few minutes.
Copy that.
Freeze! Let me see your hands.
Tony arrives, holding a man at gunpoint.
Almeida.
Put your gun on the ground. Slowly.
Kick it.
Tony knocks the man out.
Drag him under the truck.
Now, let's go!
Stokes, his hands in the air, complies unwillingly. Tony keeps Stokes in his sights as the latter drags his unconscious colleague out of sight beneath the tanker.
Hands up.
What do you think you're doing?
You're gonna take me down to the fuel tanks. Let's go.
Stokes demonstrates to Almeida that he was only reaching for his electronic key card. He walks across to the hatch door and swipes the card through the lock. Tony keeps his gun leveled straight at him.
Open it up.
Go ahead.
Stokes passes through the hatch doors. Tony follows him in. The pair descend a metal staircase into a half-lit tunnel below. 113. Tony fixes explosive charges. At the White House.
President, we'll see you now.
Very good, thank you.
Hodges walks with affected calmness into the Oval Office, followed by Seaton.
Mr. Hodges.
Madam President, this is Greg Seaton, my associate. He's a remarkable man. Doesn't look remarkable, but believe me, he's a genius.
Yes, I know Mr. Seaton. Thank you, gentlemen.
Never gets old, does it? Stepping into the Oval Office almost smells of history.
Can we sit?
Please.
You know, this is the first time I've been in this room since you were elected.
I'm aware of that, yes.
Under your predecessor, I used to drop by every couple of months. I'd brief President Daniels on what was really going on in the world.
And you've been excluded now. Is that what this is about?
No, ma'am. It's about allowing Starkwood to fulfill the purpose for which it was founded, protecting this country.
You have been attacking this country. You and General Juma have killed hundreds of innocent people, including my son.
Madam President, I am deeply sorry for your loss. And my heart breaks for all the lives that were taken today. But I'm shocked that you would think that I had anything to do with this.
We have evidence that you've been working with Juma.
Your intelligence agencies have failed you. If I had known what Juma was up to, I would have done everything in my power to stop him. So let's push aside all these baseless accusations, and maybe we can do some business here.
I'm listening.
Madam President, I know you're a student of history, and so you're well aware that our nation's independence was won with the aid of private armies, and we can't survive without them. Look how easy it was to get bioweapons into this country. Our defenses are fragile. They're on the verge of collapse. But it's not too late to do something about it.
So what are you suggesting?
In short, I want a seat at the table. Starkwood needs to be involved in the shaping of military policy, domestic and global.
It sounds more like you want a seat at the head of the table.
Madam President, I'm not here to supplant your authority. What I'm proposing is a partnership. Think of Starkwood as the fifth branch of the military. Greg?
Seaton produces literature.
This contains the protocols that will serve as the basis of our agreement. I suggest that we review them together.
Jonas, I agreed to this meeting because I wanted to hear what you had to say. But what you're proposing is blackmail.
Well, that's putting it in the worst possible light.
You are threatening to kill thousands of people.
I'm not proud of this chapter. I'm the first to admit it. And it's time to turn the page. This country has seen enough bloodshed today. For the sake of the American people, Madam President, I implore you to work with me. And let's move past this.
President Taylor stares straight back at Hodges. Seaton shifts nervously. Even Hodges drops his gaze.
Pick up the document, Madam President.
1:21. Tony continues to lay explosive charges in the fuel bunker. Stokes, handcuffed to a pipe, looks on with seething resentment. He seems surprised when Tony undoes his cuffs.
Let's go.
Come on, get up now or I'll leave you down here and you don't want that. Believe me, get up! Let's go!
Stokes raises his hands and heads back out of the bunker with Tony following close behind. They climb the metal staircase. Stokes closes the hatch doors again. Tony directs Stokes with his pistol back towards the tanker where the man still lies seemingly unconscious. As they pass, however, the man leaps up and attacks Tony from behind, causing him to drop the detonator which falls down beneath a grill. Tony takes the man out again, but not before Stokes manages to set off an alarm. Tony punches Stokes down in the missile bunker.
What is it?
Code 363. It's a government breach. We're supposed to launch.
Are you sure it's not a false alarm?
No way to tell. We've got standing orders, though. Let's start the launch sequence.
The chief technician's second in command looks uncertain. An armored hatch opens. Tony pauses mid-punch.
Too late.
Tony punches Stokes out, and then, as the missile silo doors swing open, dashes across to the grill and desperately tries to reach the detonator.
Launch sequence complete. Target is locked.
Enter the firing codes.
Sir, we need to confirm this.
That's not the correct protocol.
We're about to kill 10,000 people. We should get someone on the phone.
Enter the codes.
Now!
No, sir.
The chief technician swipes his second out of the way and begins keying in the codes himself. Tony continues stretching his arm down in a desperate attempt to reach the detonator. The screen in the bunker shows that the target is Clarksville in Maryland. The chief technician looks on grimly. Smoke begins to issue from the missile jet pipes. Tony gets a grasp on the detonator and pulls it out of the gully. He presses the button and then dashes away. The blast rips through the underground complex. Larry looks on from a distance.
That's it. That's us. Let's go. We're a go! We're a go!
Larry leads his FBI troops out. 1:24. Jack's computer screen shows the massive fireball at the Starkwood complex.
Yes, Dad.
Tony,
Tony, do you copy?
An explosion of that magnitude would have shorted out his comm. We're gonna have to wait for Larry and his men to move in.
Janice seems upset. In the Oval Office, President Taylor is going through Hodges' document.
It says here that you want active status in the Pentagon Strategic Planning Group.
That's correct.
That would give you access to Level 6 classified material. Not even the Vice President has that clearance.
These points are non-negotiable. I'm not here to debate them.
Let's review the next section, which concerns Senate oversight of Starkwood field operations.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Madam President, but I need to speak with you.
Can it wait?
No, ma'am, it can't.
Will you excuse me for a moment?
Of course.
Hodges and Seaton stand as a mark of respect as Taylor gets up and accompanies Tim Woods into the next room. Hodges eyes them suspiciously.
SATCOM has just detected a massive explosion on the Starkwood compound. The bioweapons facility has been destroyed.
Are you sure?
Yes, ma'am. Judging by the size of the explosion, nothing could have survived. But I don't know how this happened. This wasn't us.
Call FBI and have them lock down Starkwood.
They're already moving in.
Good. And when this is over, I want to speak to Jack Bauer.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I'm not sure I'm reaching her.
I think you handled it perfectly, sir.
We'll see. What the hell is this?
Put this document into evidence and take these men into custody.
What are you thinking? Have you lost your mind?
Jonas, we've taken out your missiles. It's over.
That's impossible.
It's the truth. And you're under arrest. You are a terrorist and a murderer, and I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that you pay dearly for your crimes.
Sir, my only crime is that I'm trying to protect my country. You think this ends with me? I'm just a small cog in a very big machine.
Hold on.
You can't even begin to imagine what you're up against.
What are you talking about?
You'll find out.
Taylor seems to be trying to read Hodges' mind.
Get him out of here.
Let's go, sir. Bring him out.
Hodges is led away under strong guard. President Taylor watches him go. Tim Woods casts her a brief glance and then goes, leaving Taylor wrestling with deeply disturbing thoughts. 127, end of part 2. At FBI HQ.
Advanced biohazard teams are reporting no trace of the bioweapon anywhere near the blast site. It was incinerated in the explosion.
Good. Any word on Tony?
Not yet. Larry's searching the compound now. We should hear something soon.
Okay.
Mr. Bauer, you have a phone call. It's the president.
I'll take it in the conference room. Thank you. I'll be right back.
Jack crosses the floor and passes through a pair of glass doors. He appears to be in pain. He reaches for the speakerphone and presses a button.
Madam President.
Mr. Bauer, Jonas Hodges is under arrest.
That's good news. It's very good.
Jack, you and your team provided me with an option. And for that, I am deeply grateful. And so are the American people.
Madam President, it was Tony Almeida who risked his life to destroy those missiles. And as you know, he's facing arrest for things he did leading up to today, and I was hoping that maybe you could...
Yes, Mr. Bauer?
Jack appears to have lost the plot. He shakes his head and sits down.
Jack?
I'm sorry, I completely forgot what I was saying.
You were talking about Mr. Almeida, and my answer is yes, I will take his actions into account.
Thank you.
What's happening?
I'm not exactly sure.
Jack, I am so sorry you're going through this. I wish that there were something I could do.
Madam President, I appreciate this phone call. But I'm sorry, I have to go.
Of course.
Thank you.
Jack looks around as if trying to regain control. Renee is watching him through the glass as he re-emerges.
Jonas Hodges has been arrested. Let me know as soon as you got Tony. I need to go see Dr. Mason.
call Ben Landry at CDC and tell him that I want real-time updates on Jack Bauer's condition.
Yes, ma'am.
You guys got the north side? Yeah.
At the Starkwood compound, the FBI are closing down the operation. Tony is led in handcuffs by a helmeted guard.
We've secured all entry points and command posts and are sweeping the compound on a grid-by-grid basis.
Are you meeting any resistance?
No. They're surrendering peacefully and cooperating. Most of the men on this base, I don't think they had any idea what was going on.
What about Almeida?
He's here. We found him.
Is he okay?
Some cuts and bruises, but otherwise he's in pretty good shape.
Good. Good, Jack. I'll be glad to hear that.
Listen, Renee. We've known each other a long time. You know, so much stuff has happened today.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about. I know. Excuse me, Angel Walker. Your visitor's arrived. She's in the waiting area.
Larry, I've got to go. Kim Bauer's here.
Jack's daughter?
Yes, I asked her to come. There's this experimental treatment for
Jack's disease, but he needs compatible stem cells. It's a long shot, but it's the only hope he's got.
Okay. Let me know how it goes, all right?
I will. I'm going off comm.
All right.
Did they say something about Kim Bauer?
Yeah, she's at FBI helping with the treatment for Jack, some kind of stem cell therapy.
So they think he's gonna be all right?
Didn't sound promising. Listen, Tony, this isn't easy for me, but I'm under orders to take you into federal custody.
Yeah, I know.
You did a brave thing here. Probably saved thousands of lives. As for the records, I don't think this is how you should be repaid.
Appreciate that, but I'm ready to pay for what I've done.
Get the cuffs off him, will you?
Yes, sir.
The chopper's on the way. We're taking you back to FBI. All right.
Memory loss is consistent with the disease, Mr. Bauer. I just wouldn't have expected it to manifest this quickly.
It's not just memory loss. It feels like, I don't know exactly how to explain it. I feel like I'm losing some part of myself.
The disease profile includes personality changes, sometimes even hallucinations. But this is a weaponized pathogen we don't know much about. The military is still combing through the remains of the bioweapons lab in Songala, so we expect to learn something very soon.
You were able to give me something that controlled the shaking. Is there anything that you can give me that would help me with this?
No. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Excuse me.
Jack gets up and leaves the room under the sympathetic gaze of Dr. Mesa. 1:36. Back out in the corridor, Renee approaches him.
Jack, is that all right?
Yeah. I'm going to need to go on record about everything that happened today. And we need to do it soon. I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be able to provide you with the details.
Okay. First, there's something that you need to know.
What?
It's about Kim. She's here, Jack. I told her that you were sick and that she might be able to help with the treatment.
You did what?
Jack, enraged, bundles Renee into a side room.
Who the hell do you think you are? Who the hell do you think you are? You think this is easy? You think you understand what I'm going through? Because you don't. I am dying. And I was okay with it. I could handle it. And now you've put in front of me the one thing that's gonna make this unbearable.
Jack, listen.
No, you listen to me. I specifically told you, do not drag my daughter into this.
No one dragged her into anything. She's been trying to see you all day.
Jack turns, an expression of utter incredulity on his face.
She was at the Senate hearing this morning. She flew out from L.A. to be there, but we pulled you out before she could see you. She's been leaving messages at our office all day. They just didn't get to me till now. If you want, I can tell her that you're not here. I can tell her that you can't see her.
Can't do that.
139. 143. Renee leads Jack along a corridor. He stops. On the other side of the glass wall, Kim sits with her back to them. Jack pauses and seems to wipe a tear from his eye. Renee discreetly withdraws as Jack walks slowly towards the door. Kim turns.
Daddy. How are you feeling?
I'm okay.
You're not in any pain?
No.
Come sit down.
Jack moves slightly awkwardly across and sits down next to her on a small sofa. She turns to him, her face registering love and concern.
Did Agent Walker tell you that I was trying to find you?
Yeah.
I've tried everything to track you down, State Department, private investigators. Every time I got a phone number or an address, you were already gone.
Sorry. I thought I was doing the best thing for you by staying away.
You so much.
I missed you too. You need to know how sorry I am for everything that you've had to live through because of me.
No, don't do that. Don't put that on yourself. I'm the one that should apologize. I pushed you away. And instead of taking responsibility for all the mistakes I made in my life, I blamed you. And it was stupid. And immature. And now all the time that we've lost. Agent Walker told me that there's a chance. A small chance that I could help you. And you don't want me to.
The treatment is experimental. And I don't think it's going to work.
And you don't want to because you're afraid to ask me.
No. There's a risk to you.
A small risk. Worth taking.
Not to me. Kim, I'm dying. And whatever small chance there is to stop that from happening, it is not worth the pain for me to let you sit there and watch me die.
Daddy, I don't want to lose you.
Come here.
I don't.
Sweetheart.
As they embrace, Jack's face contorts.
What is it?
Sweetheart, I'm sorry. But you need to go. Please, baby, please, I'm begging you.
I love you so much.
She picks up her coat, then kisses his cheek. Kim leaves the room in tears. Jack remains on the sofa, seemingly trying to regain self-control. His face, however, crumples, and he dissolves in tears and clutches his head in his hands. An FBI man is checking a section of fence. He gets back into a large 4x4.
Perimeter 2 to dispatch. Auxiliary gate 6 is clear.
Copy that, P2. Hold your place.
Stokes's colleague, who left to make the check on the perimeter, shoots the FBI man and bundles his body out of the vehicle.
Freeze! Show me your hands! Get him up!
The FBI man keeps the Starkwood operative under close guard with his pistol as he bends down and rifles through the jacket of his fallen comrade for his comms unit.
P2 to dispatch. I have an agent down and a suspect in custody. Code red.
Copy that, P2. All available agents. Respond auxiliary gate 6.
Drop the bag.
The captured Starkwood man does as he is told.
Hands on the hood.
The FBI man gets his prisoner onto the bonnet of the vehicle and takes the man's gun. He then goes over to the fallen bag and undoes the zip. He pulls out one of the canisters of deadly pathogen.
P2 to dispatch, put me through to Agent Moss, it's urgent.
Agent Moss.
Agent Moss, this is Davis at Auxiliary Gate 6. I have a Starkwood op in custody. He killed one of our agents. He was carrying a canister of the bioweapon, trying to smuggle it out using one of our vehicles.
What? Are you sure?
I'm looking at it right now.
The Starkwood man kills Davis.
Agent Davis? Davis!
The Starkwood man takes the canister and heads off in the 4x4.
Walker. Renee, we got a breach in the cordon at Gate 6. One of the Starkwood ops, he's got a canister of the bioweapon.
What?
It was ID'd by Agent Davis, who I believe has just been shot. The suspect may be fleeing in an FBI vehicle, so I need you to close down all access roads and alert perimeter units and Metro Police.
Just give me DC Metro.
I'm going to pursue from the air. Let's go. Get us out. Renee, alert Homeland. Let them know what's going on.
Are we thinking this is another attack, Larry?
I don't know, but there's enough prion variant, one of those canisters, to take out a small city.
Larry exchanges a look with Tony, who sits aboard the helicopter. 149. End of part 3. Part 4, 154. The Starkwood man races through the night in the 4x4. Larry's helicopter hovers overhead.
Agent Miller, are there any major roadways in our perimeter that the Starkwood operatives could use?
Yes, sir. We're coming up on Highway 42. Should I turn us that way?
Yeah, let's head that way until we hear something from Major Walker.
Roger that.
Yes, sir. We'll keep Homeland apprised with real-time updates. Did you access the GPS locator system?
Yep. I'm scanning transponders for the stolen FBI vehicle.
How long will that take?
As long as it takes for the satellite to reposition. When you spoke to Larry, you mentioned an attack.
The Starkwood operative we're trying to find stole a canister of a bioweapon.
I thought Tony Almeida destroyed all the weapons.
Apparently not.
How did this operative get past our perimeter?
Shot and killed two of our agents.
This is it. The suspect is getting off Highway 42 at Smoke Tree Avenue. He's heading toward the industrial corridor.
Put me in the interagency channel.
Go ahead.
All units, this is Agent Walker with FBI. Suspect has exited Highway 42 at Smoke Tree. He's headed north into the industrial corridor. Units in the vicinity, please respond.
Hey, it's me. We're over Smoke Tree right now. We're redirecting and we'll tighten our pursuit.
Got it. I'll reroute SWAT Team Alpha to the scene. SWAT Team Alpha, we need to set up a roadblock at the Fairfax County line. DC Metro's covering the district line in case he tries to double back.
Copy that, at county line.
Larry and the pilot scan the dark landscape below.
Sir, I have a visual.
Yeah, got him.
The Starkwood man looks up, seemingly worried, but drives on.
Take us lower. He's pulling off the road. Get us down there now. Renee, it's Larry. Suspect is on foot. We can't wait for backup. We're moving in right now.
All right. SWAT team's a few minutes out. Careful, Larry.
Yeah. Remember, suspect has a canister. Take your shots. If possible, let's take him alive.
Yes, sir.
The helicopter touches down. The pilot dies.
We gotta get out of here.
Homeland's
on cover. Let's go! Come on!
Larry leads Tony away from the helicopter to take refuge behind a large metal wheelie bin as he continues returning the man's fire. The Starkwood man goes to the rear of the vehicle and pulls out a high-powered rifle. He shoots right through the bin, hitting Larry. Larry falls, still shooting. Tony comes to his assistance.
Relax.
I'm okay.
Relax.
Larry spots the man coming at them again.
Tony. Tony!
Tony turns calmly and gestures to the Starkwood man to lower his weapon. The man does so.
What? I'm sorry, Larry.
Oh, God. No.
Tony places his hand over Larry's mouth and nose and presses down hard. Larry attempts to push Tony away. Tony's face contorts in malevolent effort. Larry's eyes widen. Tony continues pressing down, trembling and twitching with the force he is having to exert. At FBI HQ, Jack is ushered into a room as if for a debriefing. Hodges stands in a holding cell. Larry seems finally to have lost the fight and lies still.
Let me see it.
The Starkwood man crosses to the 4x4. He fetches the bag and carries it across to Tony. Tony unzips the bag and pulls out the sinister canister, which seems to be fitted with some kind of delivery device. The Starkwood man looks nervously over his shoulder.
How the hell do we get out of here?
I want you to take this, find a place to hide, wait for my call.
What about you?
I'm gonna wait in the FBI, figure out a way to get you out of here. Go!
Tony stands over Larry's body, still panting from the effort it took to kill him. He looks down, his expression seemingly conflicted. 2 a.m. The end.